It's The Record on KUOW. Feeling crowded yet? Seattle has gained more than 100,000 new people since 2010. As of 2017, Seattle became the fastest growing city in America, according to new census data. All that growth has caused an affordability crisis in the region. Home prices, rent, cost of living has all soared in the last decade. But as a city grows less affordable, why don't people leave? People in the U.S. have a long tradition of pulling up roots and moving when things got tough or better opportunities beckoned. They took the Oregon Trail to settle the Pacific Northwest. In the Great Migration, 6 million African Americans moved from rural southern United States to the cities in the Northeast, Midwest, and West. But in 2018, Americans are moving at the lowest rate on record. Why is that? Well, the Census Bureau shows the main reason is that millennials aged 25 to 35 are moving significantly less than earlier generations of young adults. Now, that seems counterintuitive because millennials are less likely to be married, own a house, and have kids. Those are factors that prevent people from moving. So if millennials are less tied down by spouses, houses, and kids, why are they moving at a lower rate? Why do they stay when faced with housing prices? They're rising at a precipitous rate. Emily Badger writes for the New York Times Upshot section. That's the section that covers cities and urban policy. Emily Badger is based in San Francisco. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
People are worried about affordable housing and its availability. People are worried about that here. They look at San Francisco as even worse than we are, as a warning of what we don't want to become. Sketch out for us, how hard is it to find affordable housing in your city?
You know, it is incredibly hard here. Many people still sort of find a way to live here. But the things that they're doing in order to make that happen, I think would really be sort of surprising and shocking to people in other parts of the country where affordable housing is not so much of an issue. But, you know, we have people here dividing up what are supposed to be two-bedroom apartments into, four or five bedrooms, treating the dining room and the living room as a bedroom. That's quite common if you just sort of look on Craigslist in San Francisco. There's a lot of overcrowding in housing here, you know, multiple families sort of dividing up a single house. There's, of course, a substantial homeless problem here of people who are sort of spilling out because they can't find housing. And, you know, all of this is a result of the fact that fundamentally at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about a market where a one-bedroom, you know, might go for $2,500, $3,000 a month. That's an amount of rent that becomes unaffordable, not just to low-income people, but to middle-income people.
Well, this is a very familiar story for folks in Seattle. If it's so hard to find affordable housing, then let's talk about why so many people are staying. Now, is one reason the fact that it costs a lot of money to move?
Sure, it costs a lot of money to move, but also we're talking about people potentially moving to places where if you don't have a college degree, if you're working in a lower skilled job, you're just not going to get paid as much. I mean, the minimum wage in San Francisco is about the highest in the country. You're going to get paid potentially twice as much here for a service sector job as you would if you were to move somewhere in the middle of the country where the housing is a lot cheaper. So, you know, the economic calculation is not quite as simple as it seems when we say people should just move where the housing is cheaper, because invariably where the housing is cheaper, the jobs aren't as plentiful, they don't pay as well. You're not going to get sick leave, you're not going to get health care, other benefits that are mandated by the government in San Francisco. So, you know, it's a much more complicated decision than I think people think when they're simply looking at these incredible rents and saying people should just leave.
Well, is the housing cheaper other places? I've read that for the poorest renters, people making less than 30% of a region's median income, there's a shortage of affordable housing virtually everywhere in America, not just in San Francisco, not just in Seattle. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that statistic refers to households that make less than 30% of the median income in whatever community we're talking about. So these are not just the poor, but these are sort of the very low income. And for that population, there is a shortage of affordable housing virtually everywhere in America. So if we're talking about a really poor family in Seattle or San Francisco, you know, picking up and moving to someplace like Kansas City is not necessarily going to solve this problem for them. So on the one hand, that's a problem that's happening everywhere in the country. But what we start to see in places like San Francisco and Seattle and New York is that, you know, we're not just talking about people below 30% of the median income who can't afford housing. Now we're talking about 50, 80, 100, even 120. 20%. You know, what's so unique about these situations is that that affordable housing crisis has very, you know, sort of methodically creeped its way up the income spectrum.
I'm speaking with Emily Badger, who writes for the New York Times. You talked to someone in San Francisco about the affordability issue, a woman named Maya Mack, and her story kind of personifies what we're talking about. Could you tell that story?
Yeah, so she is living with her 7-year-old daughter with her mother and several other family members in the house where she grew up. And it's a very crowded situation. You know, she and her daughter don't have their own bedrooms. They don't even have their own beds. And I asked her, you know, why would you not consider moving somewhere else entirely, leaving the Bay Area? And, you know, she did not have to think about the answer to this for more than 2 seconds before she told me, you know, no, that would be really foolish of me, because if I were to move somewhere else, I would really be struggling. You know, maybe I wouldn't be struggling financially, but she would be struggling as a single mom in a community where she doesn't know anyone, where she doesn't have family support, where she doesn't have, you know, the sisters around her who help her take care of her daughter when she needs babysitting. You know, she is really deeply embedded in a social network in this community, and, you know, that's an incredibly valuable thing. I think it's often the case that people who don't have a lot of money have this other thing that's of value that we don't recognize, which is, you know, social connections, support. You know, they're embedded in communities, and that's a big part of what holds people in place, too.
So with people who are rich moving in and people who can't afford the city not able to leave, they have to stay behind and it's a struggle. How is that changing the character of San Francisco?
You know, it definitely is true that this is becoming a wealthier city, that, you know, the homeless problem is growing more acute. People are tremendously worried about it. You know, it really, this question of how do we create more affordable housing, how do we protect housing for people who grew up here, is kind of all-consuming in the politics of the city, which I think is probably going to feel very familiar to people in Seattle. But, you know, I think it's people who worry that the character of the city is changing, that, you know, the economics of who can afford to live here is changing. You know, those people are not overreacting. They're not being hyperbolic. It, you know, it is in fact the case that sort of the demographics and the nature of this place are changing as a result of the high cost of housing, making it very hard for certain kinds of people to stay here.
Emily Badger, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Emily Badger writes for the New York Times, The Upshot. It's the section about cities and urban policy. She is based in San Francisco. When we come back, we want to hear from you. What brought you to this growing city, and why do you stay? Call our number right now and share your story. It's 206-543-5869. It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. It's The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. New census data out has told us what we've been feeling for quite a while. Seattle is growing a lot. In fact, in 2017, Seattle was the fastest growing city in the nation. We'd like to hear from you. What brought you to this growing city? And why do you stay in the face of some of the problems that have arisen because of that? Call right now and share your story. We're at 206-543-5869. Here's what we heard from a few of you earlier today.
I moved here from Brooklyn, New York in 2016. And I moved here because I like the weather better. I thought the technology industry seemed more promising out here than back east. And the prices in Brooklyn were just getting too high.
I was looking for a job in youth ministry, and one that specifically affirmed my LGBTQ identity and beliefs. And I found a church that was willing to do that. And in January, I packed up my car with everything I owned, and I drove across the country from North Carolina, and I've been here for 4 months now. And it's been great.
A recent transplant to the Pacific Northwest, actually. What brought me out here was a job opportunity, as I'm sure a lot of people. But what sold me was seeing Mount Rainier for the first time and just seeing all the raw nature that the Pacific Northwest has to offer. What's kept me out here are the people, the general laid-back attitude and acceptance that the Western Washington has to offer. And, of course, I met my amazing wife here, too. And I can say that this is truly my home now. And I don't think I can live anywhere else.
That's Ashley and Greg calling in. Share your story with us. Why you came, why you stay. We're at 206 543-5869. The Evergrey is Seattle's indispensable newsletter with what's going on in the city and why it's happening. They've talked to a lot of newcomers about why they came and why they stay. Co-founder Monica Guzman-Preston's with us in the studio. Monica, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
So what have you learned about what brings people here and what keeps them here?
Well, definitely a lot of it really is social networks, connections, the community ties that people make. So we heard everything from people's family roots and their cultures. We heard from someone whose family immigrated from Norway 100 years ago, and it's just felt like such a deep, entrenched thing. We heard, you know, from someone who said that their Frisbee community is just so great that she can't imagine, you know, leaving because she's found such great connections through that. And also we heard people talk about the values of Seattle and how much they match their own personal values, and that that's a really significant thing that makes them want to stay in this place. And then apart from that, you know, then there's sort of the more normal responses like inertia, you know, well, I'm here and it's fine, so I stay, which is certainly, you know, a real thing. Yeah, it's a really interesting question to kind of get the full range of answers to.
There's all kinds of reasons for coming, but then staying here becomes difficult because of the rise in price of housing for some folks. Are you picking up any kind of flavor of people who say they stay, but it's becoming a struggle?
Yes, absolutely. So many of the responses have been sort of, you know, positive and optimistic, but are at least laced with some of that, despite the fact that Seattle is where it is, despite the fact that it's getting more expensive. We did hear from one person, Ann Hilton, who told us that she was kind of done with Seattle, but her wife pushed her to stay, even though the high rental prices meant that they had to keep moving farther and farther out from Seattle. But she said that she stuck it out, and she found some communities she really liked. She got more civically involved, and now she's happy she stayed. But you could see that there was a crossroads there. And at some point, you know, if people just don't get what they need in terms of meaning and connections, it really may not be worth fighting and struggling to stay.
Well, it's tough if you make a certain amount of money, but I got to say, for others, if you ask them why they stay, they might say, it's obvious. I love the new restaurants. I love all the new amenities, and I can afford them. Have you gotten any of that from folks who say, I stay here because it's clearly a better city for me as it grows and changes?
You know, specifically from that perspective of the change being solely a positive thing, we actually haven't heard that much. We have heard people tell us that they love where they are. They love their neighborhood. Someone who's been going to the same eatery for 25 years, you know, can't imagine leaving. But I think even for the people for whom it is not an immediate struggle, all the changes in Seattle, I think so many people are conscious of how it's a struggle for everybody else that it's hard to externalize it.
You can't not see tents pitched on the sidewalk. You can't not see those things. We're at 206-543-5869. Monica Guzman-Preston is with me. You read about from her in the Evergrey. And we're talking about that phenomenon of people who come here. Why did you come? And why do you stay? And is it a struggle? And maybe Monica hasn't heard from you, but maybe you're someone who says, it's obvious why I stay. I like what's happening to the city. I don't like all of it. I don't like the dislocation that's happening. But for me, it's still a great place to be. Maybe you've got that perspective or another. 206-543-5869. Let's go to Fletcher, who's joining us on the line. Fletcher, thanks for calling us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Which neighborhood are you calling from, Fletcher?
Dan.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Queen Anne, Upper Queen Anne.
Queen Anne, thanks for giving us a call. So what got you here, Fletcher? How long have you been here?
I came in 2006 for undergrad.
And why did you stay? A lot of folks leave after they've gone through their college years.
Primarily for family. My brothers are here, and my whole friend group from college stayed around here as well. So primarily for family.
And that connects you. That are you happy about staying here? Are you pleased to remain in the city despite some of the pressures?
Oh, I'm definitely feeling the pressure, and a radio program like this or this particular thing makes me start thinking. Well, gee, you know, what is really keeping me here, and kind of makes me reevaluate. And I think I'm ready to kind of start looking elsewhere.
Wow! And what are the factors that make you think that way?
Primarily looking at, like, Craigslist housing, and that's really it. Like, I can afford groceries, but the housing makes me feel like I'm not getting a good deal.
You know, as we heard from San Francisco, a lot of people are overcoming that just by getting closer together, like sharing houses, splitting up apartments into smaller and smaller areas. Have you had to do that?
Yes, I have.
But at the same time, I would think that having your family here provides you with some kind of a cushion for that, does it?
Right. I feel a little bit like an imposition right now, even though they're very accommodating. So I'd like to be independent and not a burden, not that they tell me I am, but I'd like to kind of, yeah, be independent.
And when your thoughts go to moving, where do they take you to?
I don't know. I've heard the East Coast, the Carolinas, have great housing. I have a friend who lives out there. He tells me the prices for, like, renting a house, even, it's nuts. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it's a lot cheaper.
Hey, Fletcher, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you just joined us, it's The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. We're taking your stories about why you moved here and why you're staying. 206-543-5869. Monica Guzman-Preston is also here with us. And that story about family keeping Fletcher here, are you hearing that very much, that people kind of move here and it's the family connections that make them want to stay?
Yes, absolutely. We heard from one reader, Rani Nguyen, who said that her family is Vietnamese refugees, and they found such a community in Little Saigon, and they couldn't imagine leaving it, right? Because not only is it culturally relevant, but you've also spent the time investing in those relationships. So we definitely hear that a lot, that for a lot of people, it takes time to get to know a place. It can take time to warm up to a place. So there's a cost. When you extricate yourself from that and try to start over somewhere else, you have to invest that time all over again. And in some situations, you know, especially if you're part of a different culture, that the rewards of being connected to your culture within a city where your culture is not the majority are so great, and the cost would be so great to leave that, right? So it also depends on how important and how unique is that connection that you've made in Seattle, and what would it take for you to find it someplace else?
Monica, you've been covering this story for a long time at the Evergrey and elsewhere. When you got these responses in on why people came and why they stayed, did you look at any of them and go, did they surprise you? Did you look at any of them and go, wow, I hadn't thought about that before?
Oh, interesting. I will say, I don't know if it's true to say that it surprised me, but I am moved by how many people have values-based reasons for wanting to stay. For example, Philip Weiss, one of our readers, said, I want to stay here because I'm seeing a growing movement of people who care about urbanism and equity. All four generations of my family that lived here before me improved the city for the next, and this is how we'll improve it for the next one. There's a sense of mission there, right? So you asked me earlier, is anyone saying that they're excited about the changes because of the restaurants and whatnot? We didn't hear about those little things, but we did hear about, you know, the ingredients are here for something exciting, and we're having a hard time, but I want to stay because I see hope, and I think I can be part of making this place better.
We have the phone lines open at 206-543-5869. We've got Patricia on the line. Patricia, good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call.
Where are you calling from, Patricia? What's your neighborhood?
I'm calling from Tacoma.
Oh, from Tacoma. Well, tell us a little bit about what got you to Tacoma and why you stay.
Well, actually, I went back to Seattle because of the illness of my father, and I was a caretaker for my father.
Huh.
And that moved me back to Seattle.
I see. And is your father still with us?
No, he's not.
I'm sorry to hear that. With that connection broken, why did you stick around? Why did you stay in Tacoma?
Well, actually, I moved from Seattle to Tacoma because I could no longer afford Seattle.
I see. And has the move worked out for you? Do you find it a more affordable city? You're able to live in a place you like in a way that you could not do here?
Well, I made the decision to move to Tacoma after I realized that my friends were just 20 minutes away by drive, but by traffic, so that's an hour away back to Seattle.
That's right. It takes an awful long time to get back and forth. And is your living situation in Tacoma appreciably better than the kind of housing you're able to afford here in Seattle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I lived in the Central District for many years. I was actually born at Providence Hospital in the Central District. We moved to Columbia City before it became the Columbia City it is today. And then we moved to Kent. And then now we move to Tacoma.
You know, I've just been reading that Pierce County is kind of posing itself as the anti-Seattle, trying to attract businesses there. And I'm wondering, in the time you've been in Tacoma, Patricia, have you noticed any of those same pressures that have really taken hold in Seattle beginning to take hold in Tacoma, specifically like rising housing prices, crowded buses, the kind of things that we see here? Is that happening where you are?
I believe it is. The Hilltop area is really coming along. There's a lot more development. They're restoring buildings. I see a lot of signs that say that they're hiring. I see more. It seems that there's more pedestrian traffic in Tacoma because I live relatively close to where I'm working. And the big push that made me move to Tacoma was because I am a social worker, and my income has been. I wouldn't say I'm making a lot of money,
right?
But I could no longer afford living in Seattle.
It's sadly a story of all too many people. Patricia, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And Monica Guzman-Preston, co-founder and director of the Evergrey, a digital news publication in Seattle. Thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.